I think God just wants to have fun with his kids this morning. You know, he just does. You know, we're looking at part three of our series. You know, our series is Trust in God Opens the Doors to His Promises. Trust is a powerful thing. And God has earned our trust, has he not? He has earned our trust. His word cannot fail. It will endure forever. His truth endures to all generations. It will never change. He cannot annul, change, or alter his covenant to which he has bound himself. These things are real. We need to understand. And this is part three. Who's setting our expectations? You know, your expector is really important. We're all created with an expector. We are always in a state of expectation, one thing or another, whether you're expecting good things or whether you're expecting doom and gloom, bad things, or whether you're not expecting anything at all, you're still expecting nothing at all. And that's pretty hard to do, to expect nothing at all. So let's raise our expectation to a little higher level right now. Let's go to our weekly confession, and let's declare this together. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. You know, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. What's salvation? Salvation is something, it's a package of a full meaning that is addressed to your entire life. There is not one area of your life that the gospel isn't about, doesn't provide for. There is a provision for every area of your life in the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ is the power of God. Why would you seek answers anywhere else? Look, the human race couldn't be fixed. It had to be redeemed. We were unfixable. Were you fixable? I wasn't fixable. It took the blood of Jesus Christ to redeem me from who I was. And that inner part of me needed to be scored out and thrown out, and I needed to become someone new.
Amen.
God did that. God performed that. God said he would do it in the old covenant. He said, a new heart I will give you. And I will be your God, and you'll be my people. I will walk in you. Where I walk, Jesus walks. Where you walk, Jesus walks. He is in me both to will and to do of his good pleasure, and his pleasure is good. Oh, hallelujah. Should have got a rip-roaring amen there. Thank you for that thunderous silence. But turn with me to Psalms chapter 37. We're going to look at verse 3. I'm reading from the New King James. Trust in the Lord and do good. You know, if you trust in the Lord and do good, God has a lot of promises for you. Trust. Take refuge under Scripture's truth. Trust. T-R-U-S-T. Trust in who? Trust in social media. Trust in ABC, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, CNN, CNBC, all the alphabet soup. Yeah. And it is pretty stagnant, terrible soup. Yeah. Trust in the Lord and what?
Do good.
Do good. Dwell in the land. We know he's talking about the land of promise, the promised land. Dwell in the promised land and feed on his faithfulness. Dwell in the land. In the New Testament, that would be to dwell in the promises of God. Dwell in the promises. Live there. If you have a need in your life, look in the Word of God. You'll find a promise concerning that. Yes. Write that promise down. Memorize it. See if it connects with other promises. Broaden it. Get the length, breadth, height, and depth of it. And start meditating. Start confessing that. Every time you see that need in your life, you start confessing the Word of God. And the Word of God is eternal. And it will start to burn away and replace and displace that which is temporal. And you'll find out that the eternal Word of God is the most powerful thing in the universe. It's more powerful than any failure you've had. The devil likes to play that song, doesn't he? Every time, you did this. He's the accuser of the brethren. But what he accuses us of is already paid for. There's no case. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in His promises and feed on what? Can the Lord ever fail?
No.
Can He ever say something and not do it?
No.
Can He ever promise something and it not come to pass? He said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Ask, seek, knock. A-S-K. Zing. Ask, and that word ask has several meanings, and one of the major meanings of that word ask is to call forth. Much like Peter and John did at the Gate Beautiful. Such as I have, I give you thee. I give to you in the name of Jesus. You have been given the name of Jesus. You have been given the name that is above every name in heaven and in earth. You have been given the name that heaven must receive until all things be fulfilled. You have received the name that is with the Father in His heart, from His heart, standing there before Him with the blood talking to Him that is shed for you. You have His name. His name is Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our victor. He's the conqueror, the victory. The banner, and that's our banner of victory, is His name. He is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. He is Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Peace is the wholeness. You know, when Jesus spoke to that storm, He didn't just say words. He released peace. That's the peace that you have in you. He said, that's His peace. He said, my peace I give to you. Not as the world, this is not the world's kind of peace that dissipates. It disappears whenever a storm comes. No, it stands up to the occasion. Peace. Peace is powerful, and peace is what calms those storms, calms everything. This is where you got to set your expectations, folks.
Amen.
You know, God makes all things new.
Amen.
There is nothing old about Him. Nothing. Nothing old about Him. In Revelation 21:5, I didn't write this down, I don't think, but it says, He that sat on the throne, that's God, said, behold, look at this. He said, I make all things new. And He said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Write this. These words are why do you write it? So that you can look at it, so that you can study it, so that you can get into your eyes, because where your eyes go, you go. You know that? These words were first spoken by God so they could be written by John, so they could be spoken by us. Look at you, say this to yourself. All things
about me
are new. There is nothing old. The old is gone. The new has come. And I walk in newness of life. His life. Zoe life, the thing that makes God God, is in me. And I am a partaker of the divine nature. I'm a partaker of His divine nature. Mm-hmm. How many of you have ever experienced a rough patch in your life? If you haven't raised your hands, I'm going to call you a liar. I've reached some rough patches in my life, and we all do, and the devil likes to point back to those things, but You know, one of the beautiful things about being a believer, being born again and being heir with Christ, is that no matter what you're going through, and you can go through some horrendous stuff or not so horrendous, but there's just gunk, you know. You can always know that there's something on the inside of you that knows that God is there and it's going to work out. Somehow it's going to work out. Amen. That He has got your future. Amen. He has got this. He's got your past. He's there in the present. In fact, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is there, the ever-present one, He is with you always. Amen. And that's something on the inside of you knows something that your eyes aren't seeing right now, that you are not experiencing right now. That is your expector. Mm-hmm. You were created with an expector. You were created with a believer. There is no time in this life that you're not believing something. When I was an atheist, I was an atheist from the time I was 16 till I was 24. There was a time when I, at 16 years old, I decided that there is no God. And that continued till I was 24. And by that time, my life had descended into a real sludge ball. But whether you're an atheist, you believe that there's no God. If you're a believer, you believe that there is a God. If you're a believer in Christ, then you have been born again and you come into a relationship where you can fellowship with God. But even when I was an atheist, I was still believing something. I just believed that there was no God. You see, you're always believing something. That means you're always expecting something. You're always hoping something. There is something in us that is built in us that builds expectations, that has a belief system in it, that has something in it that works in you when you sleep, when you rise, when you work, when you play, when you're doing nothing, when you're watching TV. There's something on the inside of us that is expecting something. And the devil works real hard at trying to get you to reset your expector to the worst case scenario, to hopelessness, to failures of the past. You know, what has happened will happen. You know, if it hasn't worked then, why would it work now? And da 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 da. And it goes on and on and on. And if he can't set that expector, he needs you to do it. He doesn't have the authority to reach into your life and set your expector to something negative. He needs your cooperation. So what he has to do is he has to build this case. Oh, he's such a rat. So he builds this case and he reminds you of everything that didn't work. All the things that you don't have. You can't do. You're not capable of that. You don't have the talent. You don't have the ability. You don't have the looks or the personality. You don't, whatever it is, always point to what you don't have, what you can't do, and what is beyond your understanding somehow. No, you have an anointing that abides on the in, and you know all things, the Bible says. We have an anointing that abides within, and we know all things. It's in 1 John. I don't know the exact verse of that, but it just came to me. And you know what? You don't have to know the exact verse of these things either. If a word comes to you, believe it. That's the Holy Spirit reminding you of what Jesus said, of what the Word of God says to you. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Let's look at that. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature, or better yet, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Why? Just accept that. The old me has passed away. I am a new creation.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Old mindsets, old habits, old way of looking at things, old way of perceiving things, old way of looking at others that Jesus loves. Old way of looking at your circumstances, at your job. Do you wake up every morning just saying, oh, here we go again. I think I hit a nerve there because you're like, oh, not me. No, you. We've all done that. We've all woken up and said, you know, I feel like I've done this once before. And, you know, you get into this rote, and that's exactly what the devil wants you to think, because if he can get you into this rote of life, this habit of saying, here we go again, then you're not going to look at anything new. You're not going to expect anything new. You're just going to expect a repeat of the old way. And the old way is gone. It doesn't exist. You're dealing with something that doesn't exist. Just like when Paul was in prison and he's talking to, and the Lord is with him. And he said to the Lord, Lord, I have wasted your saints. Jesus didn't recognize that. He didn't respond to it because Paul was talking about something that didn't exist anymore. His sin. It was non-existent. If you are in Christ, and you are, if you believe that Jesus was raised from the dead, what does it say? The word is near you, even in your heart and in your mouth. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you shall believe in your heart, the Lord Jesus, you believe in Jesus? Amen. And that God raised him from the dead,
Amen.
You are saved. That is the only prerequisite. You don't have to pass moral tests. You don't have to pass what can you do about your past? Nothing. It's gone. And the good thing about this is the blood of Jesus makes it non-existent. Behold. Look. It says, look at this. Behold means receive it with an awe and a reverence. Behold. He who sits on the throne has made you brand new. All things are become new. You are new. Then you leave here and you get in your car and all of a sudden the devil immediately starts to pick this word apart and tell you that it's, well, yeah, that may be true for some. You know, he presents this case. He builds a case. And he's always building a case. Be aware of that. Because he's trying to get you to set your expector towards failure. The same old. What was will always be. I did this. I did that. It's gone.
Amen.
Let the blood do its work.
Praise the Lord.
That blood came to this earth for a purpose. To cleanse and make all things new. Amen. Honor that blood. I almost feel like having communion again today. Therefore, if any man be, he is a new creature. He is a new creation. You are a beautiful new creation of God. The enemy always, it's like he's out in this cornfield somewhere, stamping something down, trying to get you to get into that field with him and to be as mad as he is about the world and everything else. And then when you join him, what happens is you realize you're stuck. You took the bait. Don't take the bait. That's for somebody. It doesn't make sense to me, but that's for somebody. But no matter what you're going through, you can still have joy if you're a believer. That's what I love about Jesus, is that you know that in the worst possible times, God is going to work everything out for you.
Amen.
You have a God who can do, who will do, who has done, and always will. You have a God who's standing up on the inside of you,
yes,
saying, continue in my word.
Hallelujah.
And you'll know the truth.
Hallelujah.
And the truth will make you free.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Poor Rabbi. Every time you agree with the truth, you're agreeing with something that is settled forever in heaven, and you're releasing its power here in the earth.
Amen.
And it has more power than any nuclear bomb that you ever,
Amen,
believed, because it'll blast apart the demonic plans and plots against you like that. God is love. God is life. He has already accepted you. He himself, God the Father, this God who sits on his throne, he's the eternal God, has already accepted you in Christ. He has made you acceptable. You can go into his throne room anytime you want. He said, come boldly to the throne of grace, right? Not the throne of judgment, Not the throne of anger, not the throne of I'll get you. No, it's the throne of grace.
Amen.
Can he change that? No, it's in the eternal covenant. It's the come confidently or boldly to the throne of grace that you may, what? Obtain mercy.
Amen.
And find grace to help in the time of need. God just wants to put his arms around you. He wants you to explain to him what he wants to be touched with the feeling. He is able to be touched with the feeling of your infirmity. Why is that? Because he wants you to know that he's open to hear your heart. Not that he doesn't know everything about your heart, but he wants you to tell him anyway. You may know what your kids are going through, but you still want to hear it from them anyway. So that it opens up a conversation. And with that conversation, God can get his word in there and start the healing process, start the empowering process, the strengthening process, and really sink into your heart a revelation of who you really are. Get anything out of this? Good. Because if you're not, I am. I'm glad I came here today. Praise God. Hope, expectation, they work together, by the way. Hope is a positive expectation of good. That's the biblical definition of hope. And when I say positive expectation, I'm not talking about, well, you know, you got to be positive. No, no. Positive means it's going to happen. Positive means, look, this is the positive truth that the moon is going to come up tonight, that the sun is going to come up tomorrow. You know it's going to happen, just hadn't happened yet. That's the biblical hope. It's an assurance. It's a positive. It's an assurance, a positive expectation of good. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 29. You know, God has really gone out of his way to make sure that we know that we can trust him. And you need to be in a position of trust in order for those promises to manifest in your life.
Amen.
Jeremiah 29:11 says this, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a what?"
Future.
Well, this the King James says, an expected end. God wants us to expect things. He wants our expected and to be that of peace. That's what he thinks. That's what he has called your future and your hope. He has called it peace. Thoughts of peace I have for you. Here is a categorical list of God's thoughts toward you. This is his thoughts. He knows his thoughts. Do you know his thoughts? It's right here. This is a world of discovery, a kingdom of blessing that is available to everybody who walks the earth who can read. That's another thing in the schools. They're not even learning how to read in schools. Well, maybe they're learning how to read, but they're learning how to read the wrong stuff.
Yeah.
Praise God. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace." This is shalom. Peace means wholeness. It means where nothing is missing. Nothing is bent or broken or out of the way. Everything is going in line with God and his purposes. It's a life of peace. God's thoughts toward us are peace, not evil, that we would have an expected end. That word end, by the way, is a Hebrew word. And it's translated reward, remnant, and residue in other places in the Bible. So you could read it like this, to give you an expected reward, an expected remnant. You know, a remnant is something that's around after you're gone, like a posterity, something that leaves the scent of a life that was touched by Jesus. A life that was filled with the Spirit of God. A life that had an essence and an aroma about it that came from heaven. That somehow brought change to this earth or people in this world that needed to know Jesus. to give you an expected reward, an expected remnant, an expected residue. You want to leave a good taste in people's mouth? When they start giving you their political at work, and you just smile and say, you know, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. They're not open to hearing anything else. They're not open. You know, you argue a fool against his will, he's of the same opinion still. That's why Proverbs 24:13 says this, my son, eat honey, eat thou honey, because it is good, and the honeycomb, which is sweet to your taste. Verse 14, so shall the knowledge of wisdom be to your soul. You need to pray for wisdom every day. Let wisdom, the wisdom of God, set your expectations so that when somebody ugly comes up to you and starts trying to get you into their narrative, you'll have the right word to say. Amen. You know, so a soft answer will turn away wrath. Wisdom of God says that. Jesus said, if you hear my sayings and do them, I will liken you unto a wise man. See, when you hear it and do it, Jesus calls that wisdom. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be to your soul. When you have found it, then there shall be a reward, same word, and your expectation will not be cut off. The devil wants to cut your expectation of good things off and renew your expectation of bad things. He wants to make your future look bleak, dark, and iffy. That's why he wants you to look at the past, because you'll determine in your mind, same old thing, same old thing, same old thing. But God has a better plan. God has a word of truth, and truth displaces. You know, the word of God does that. It has a pounding effect. When you just take the word and put it in your heart, and put it in your heart, and put it, Jesus said, continue in my word, continue in my word, continue, let it pound, and it displaces every word that doesn't belong there. Amen. Even uprooting it to the point where it just pounds it so it has no place in you, it has no life in you. And when you hear something that goes contrary to the word, it will just be a signal and you'll recognize it.
Yeah.
Just like a bank teller recognizes a counterfeit bill.
Yes.
You got to deal with the real. Oh, I like that. Deal with the real. Get rid of the phony money. Okay. You know I played in rock bands, right? We dealt with a lot of phony stuff in those days. Boy, thank God I was delivered. So shall, you see, if you eat honey, you know what it tastes like. You know it's sweet. So shall knowledge of wisdom, the knowledge of wisdom, be to your soul. Your soul can be trained to love what is sweet from heaven, to know the mind of God, to know the thoughts of God. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Well, that was the Old Testament. Now I am his, and I've been born again to have his very nature, so I can know his thoughts. I can know what he's thinking while he's thinking it, because the Holy Spirit is revealing. We have been empowered with the very Spirit of God so that we can know what is freely given to us. We can, and he is there to counsel us. He's our counselor. He's there to teach us, to reveal truth to us. In every situation we're in, the Spirit of God will reveal the truth about that situation to you. So you can walk away knowing that you held your peace for a reason, that you spoke for a reason, and that everything is working out towards their good and your good. And so this is his very own Spirit that he has given you and gifted and empowered you with the ministry of the Holy Spirit to teach you all truth and to show you things to come. And part of that is, if you answer If you answer a narrative and you get involved in that narrative and it starts to go back and forth, you know how it's going to come out anyhow, but you get into it anyhow. You know, Laura and I were at a place this week, entered into a conversation, and boy, did I get into it. So I'm talking to myself here, too. And I got into it not arguing with that person, but commiserating. And we're on the way home, and Laura said, you know what? You really have to deal with that. And I said, yeah, I do. You know, see, if you live with Lori and you're not doing what you're preaching, I mean, you may think I'm perfect, but you, if you ask her, you get a whole different opinion. She will enlighten you. And but the thing is, I mean, here I am. I'm a person, too. I have a flesh to deal with. The Apostle Paul had a flesh to deal with. Peter did, too. We all do. We have a flesh to deal with. And it comes in with a very inviting door. Don't walk through it. You have something better on the inside. You need to protect that. That's an anointing that you need to protect. That's a wisdom that you need to let the wisdom rise up slowly so that you can slowly extract it and speak it and hit the target. You want to hit the target. That's when your words will have an impact. They will not return void, and they will accomplish what they were sent to do. You're just like God. You are created in His likeness and image. There's revelation in that. Set your expectations. Set them through the roof. You know, and if you're out there somewhere, God will get His word to you. God will support you. God will get you there, but you got to get out there and believe something. Amen. You got to get out there and say, you know what? It's impossible for this little mind to know everything, but I've got a spirit. You know, Elihu said that to Job's three comforters, they called them. You know, the guys who, they're perfect and you're not. Type of, you got a lot of friends like that. But anyhow, he said, you know, I took my time here and I was respectful because you guys are older than me. But he said, you know, there's a spirit in man. And inspiration from the Almighty gives understanding. Put that in the New Testament. There's a recreated spirit in man, just like the Holy Spirit dwells in me. And inspiration from the Holy Spirit makes things new, makes things powerful. And that power came out of Elihu. It was God's wisdom. And it just really exposed the whole thing, but it also got Job in a place where he could repent and hear God. That's what you want to do. That's what will solve the problem. There's a lot of ugly people want to get you in their mess. The wisdom of God would be, I know how to get them out of this mess. So wait. Just wait on the Lord, and He will renew your strength. And you'll be able to give it to them, too. Praise God. Get anything out of that? Amen. The word has power in it. It has life in it. You don't have to help it. You don't have to apologize for it. You don't have to explain it. You don't have to do a big preface. No, the word of God, just let it out, and the word of God will do the work. It did the work in you. It'll do the work in them. We got bigger fish to fry. You know, we got places to go and bigger fish to fry than that. Amen? I think that's all I got for you this morning. Let me end with this verse of Scripture. And you shall seek me. This is Jeremiah 29:13. He says, you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. Don't reserve a part of it. You see, that's what your flesh wants. Your flesh wants to reserve a vote. It still wants a place to vote. Your flesh does. Don't give it a vote. Search for God. You will find him when you search for him with all your heart. Don't leave a place for your flesh to vote. He doesn't have one. He's been crucified. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you are able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. And we thank you, Father, that we are not limited by the things of this world, the mind of this world, the thoughts and opinions of others. Even as we learned last week with George Mueller, there's a time that he died to himself, to the opinions of others, whether it's approval or lack of approval. He died to it. The only thing he lived for was the approval of one, and that one was God. Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you that it will not return to your void. It will accomplish what you sent it to do. Thank you, Lord, that your gospel is the power of God, that it is your power, it is accurate, it is life-giving, it is vision-creating, it is purpose-driven from your heart, and your heart is one of love. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed. If